Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. One of the reasons I love the gospel account is how honest it is about the apostles. It doesn't make them look good here. They don't believe it. Verse 12, Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. He bent over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Why am I a Christian? Why have I devoted my life to the teachings of a 2,000-year-old peasant rabbi from Palestine? That seems pretty ridiculous, right? It's not because of the Bible. Although scripture plays an important part in my beliefs, it's not because of the Bible that I'm a follower of Jesus. It is not because of what some church taught me, although the church has been important to my faith. It's not because of what my family believes, although watching them go from being atheists to believers profoundly influenced me and impacted me. And it's not because it was just my truth, and I was like, it just feels right. I just like it. This is my truth. This is my thing. I am a Christian because of the resurrection. I have devoted my life to living and loving like Jesus because of the resurrection. I believe that 2,000 years ago, Roman oppressors killed Jesus as a threat to the empire, and 3 days later, he walked out of the tomb alive. And when he walked out alive, people saw him, they touched his scars, they ate with him, and they told people who told people who told people who told people who eventually told you and I. People who saw him alive told people, and as a result, on a different continent, 2,000 years later, speaking a different language, I believe the report of the firsthand witnesses. Jesus has risen from the dead. Now, occasionally, one of my secular friends, one of my coworkers or friends will ask me, "What would make you not believe? What if we found errors in the Bible?" And I'm like, "No, there's already some things you could point to." Or unanswered prayer. And I'm like, "No, I've had lots of unanswered prayer and I still believe." And they're like, "What if aliens showed up?" And they're like, "We seeded your planet long ago and we developed your race. Like, would that break your faith?" And I'm like, "No." Sometimes they'll say, like, "What about sentient AI? You know, what if machines come aware? Like, is that going to break your faith?" And I tell them, I always tell them the same thing. There's really only one thing that would wreck my faith. If you could somehow prove that there was no resurrection, my faith would crumble. The entire Christian faith would crumble because it is built on this one event that Jesus died and that he didn't stay dead. Christianity without the resurrection is a stupid waste of your time. And it isn't just me that feels that way. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says too in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 12 through 14. Here's what Paul says. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, why do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Without the resurrection, Christianity is a useless faith. But if the resurrection is true, it means we have to pay attention to Jesus. If Jesus really beat death, something no one has managed before and no one has managed since, we need to pay attention to what he said. We simply can't dismiss his teachings because we don't like them. If Jesus is alive, he's impossible to ignore. Now, I know you're intelligent, educated Westerners. The resurrection sounds crazy. I know that. Like, I'm not up here saying, "Wow, it's super believable. Just get behind it." Believe me, I know. When I started this church, I started it through an organization that helps people start churches. And one of the first things they did was have me take a personality test. So I took the Myers-Briggs personality test because they were like, we want to know your strengths and your weaknesses. And my personality type of the Myers-Briggs personality profile is an INTJ. Now, INTJs, and immediately they were like, do we really want to support this guy? Like, if he's an INTJ? INTJs are cynical by nature. We don't believe anything at face value. We doubt everything. INTJs are usually the villain in the real world and in literature. For instance, Emperor Palpatine, he was an INTJ. So is Karl Marx. So, you know, those are the people that I'm like. And you're like, why are you our pastor? You know? I was watching a few weeks ago the 2000-2001 Justice League animated cartoon with my daughter because I'm raising her right. You know, that's what you do if you're a good dad. You watch Justice League with your daughter. And it was an episode where Vandal Savage, the supervillain, was on the episode, and she kept pointing to the TV and saying, it's Daddy, it's Daddy. And I was like, she thinks I'm Batman because I'm awesome and Batman's awesome. And so I went up to the TV, and oh, man, the image disappeared. That's crazy. That's so weird. It's a picture of Vandal Savage. Well, you have no idea what he looks like. But anyways, I pointed to Batman, and I was like, is this Daddy? And she goes, no, that's not Daddy. And in the episode, Superman had a beard. And I was like, oh, she thinks I'm Superman. He's not as good as Batman, but I'll take it. You know, Superman. So I pointed to him. She goes, no. And I was like, okay, well, Aquaman's the other option. I was like, he's lame, but I'll point to him. You know, it's better than... So I pointed to Aquaman, and she says, no. Then she went up to the TV. She pointed to Vandal Savage, the supervillain, and she says, yeah, it's you, Daddy. That's you. So I looked up Vandal Savage's Myers-Briggs personality type, and you guessed it. He's an INTJ. So somehow my two-year-old daughter saw something in this supervillain that was similar to Daddy's personality. So that's always encouraging. So believe me, though. I understand if you say you have a hard time believing that a dead man came back to life, I get it. INTJs are the personality profile most likely to be atheists. So believe me, I get it. It's unheard of for a dead man to come back to life. It isn't just rare. It's not like, hey, every 60 years we see. It's unheard of. It's unheard of for a man who has been dead for 3 days to come back to life. The longest anyone has ever been dead and brought back to life is 17 hours. Velma Thomas had a heart attack at her home in Virginia in 2008. She was rushed to the hospital. While there, she had two more heart attacks. She was placed on life support. In all, her heart stopped beating 3 times. She was clinically dead with no brain activity for 17 hours, and then she came back to life. That's the longest anyone's ever been dead. But if it is true that Jesus died and came back to life, it's an unheard of thing. If that's true, that's exactly why it matters, because this is something new. This is something unheard of. This is something special. Now, last Easter, 1 year ago, I stood up here and I preached out of my grief. We had just lost our daughter a year ago. In Pennsylvania, families who put a child up for adoption have 30 days to change their mind. And although she had been out of the biological parents' home since January, she had been placed with us only 21 days. And so they changed their mind, and social workers came and took her away. And we were devastated. It felt like God had heard 10 years of our prayers. And then we were teased with a vision of what our life could be like. And then it was all taken away. And I took several weeks off, but I decided to come back and preach on Easter. And man, that was the most difficult message I've ever preached. And I remember asking our social worker, could the parents change their mind? Could the biological parents change their mind again? Does that happen? And she said, yes, occasionally that happens. Like a biological parent will take the child back and then decide it's too hard and give her back. And I said, what's my odds? Like, how likely is it to happen? And she's like, maybe 20% of the time, usually in the first 1 to 2 weeks. So I prayed and fasted those first 2 weeks, and then we got into week 3 and 4, and we heard nothing. And so I asked our social worker again. I said, what are my odds now? And she said, probably less than 1%, probably 0%. And she had never seen someone take a child back and then put them back up for adoption after 3 weeks. And I tried to keep praying and hoping, and I grew despondent. Many people kept praying for us when we couldn't pray anymore. And then a month passed, and I asked her again. I said, is there any hope? And she told me bluntly to my face, it would be unheard of for the parents to change their mind at this point. And then 45 days went by, and the unheard of thing became reality. When I looked to the unheard of reality of my daughter back here playing, When I look at that unheard of reality, man coming back from the dead, if God can do that, he can certainly walk away from this. If Jesus is alive, it means our hopes and our dreams and our prayers don't have an expiration date. Either in this life or in the life to come, all unheard of things will come true. And you might be like, Alex, you don't understand. It would be unheard of if somehow this worked out. It would be unheard of at my age. It would be unheard of with my education level. It would be unheard of with my disease. It would be unheard of with my disability. It would be unheard of with my history. Haven't you heard? We serve a God who does the unheard of. A God who brings back daughters long after all hope has expired. A God who raises Jesus from the dead. A God of miracles. And I know some of you are sitting here or watching online and you're listening and you're thinking, this is nonsense. The resurrection is ridiculous. It makes no sense. Let me make a counter argument. Life without the resurrection makes no sense. We all just have a few moments of time where anything makes sense. Our lives are so short. We're so small in a vast universe of time and space. But love says we were here. We mattered to someone, and someone mattered to us. Love makes life worth living. If there is no resurrection, if love is just a biological, chemical function of your brain, a byproduct of evolution to preserve the species or a construct of society to create orderly cultures, then that means life is pointless and absurd. That means the ache inside every human being for meaning and for their lives to matter actually means nothing. We simply die and fade to black and are forgotten. There are two ways of living. One is if death is an inescapable thief chasing us down and soon we will be forgotten. Or two, the other way to live is as if there is a resurrection and there is more life on the other side of death. That death ends a chapter, but it does not end the story. That there is more time to do the things you didn't get to. At 40, I wrestled, as many people do, with my lack of accomplishments next to my ambitious 20s. If you ask me in my 20s, I wrote this down in a journal. I went back and looked at it to make sure I wasn't crazy. I said, I'm going to change the entire North American church and remove everything dead from American religion. Yeah, I'm not on track to do that. Like, I'm not going to hit that goal, okay? I had some serious delusions of grandeur in my 20s. I was an idealist, and I was naive. And as I turned 40, I felt this existential dread, knowing at best my life was half over, and my years with the most energy were probably over, and everything was going to be less energy, less strength, less brain power from here on out. And I felt like I could no longer accomplish the goals I wanted to that I had laid out in my 20s. Even some of the simplest goals on my life bucket list had taken way longer than I ever imagined or dreamed. And the dread I felt was like I was running out of time. That feeling, though, only matters if death is the end of your story. If there's more life, I have more time. So how are you living? With this frenetic sense that death is chasing us, or with the peaceful rhythm that death is not the end? Hurry is the great enemy of love. And many of us rush through life, distracting ourselves from the inevitability of death. Jesus came back to life, and he's bringing the dead back to life with him. Our loved ones will dance and sing on this planet again. We have the time to stop and smell the roses and love our friends and family well, because life buried in the ground begets more life. Now, do I have questions? Absolutely, I have questions. I have questions about the Bible. I have questions about the church. I have questions about heaven and hell. But because of the resurrection, I have hope. My question for you is, do you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you did not abandon us in darkness, but you entered the darkness to start a blaze of light. And you've spread your light to all of us who are called by your name, who become your disciples, students of how you lived and loved. We're so grateful that when the darkness tried to swallow you, you turned the darkness to day. God, because of the resurrection, we can hope, we can believe. There is no expiration date to what you can do and will do in us and through us. God, I pray that as we walk out of this place, we will walk with